This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, he is right. We are going to be playing with balls. That's me, Pete Dillon. And we're talking all things sport here today on Cravings, combining sport and food. And you may wonder how that's going to be done with any sense of class and aplomb. I can assure you it's all going to be very, very tasty. Stick with me as we have a bit of fun with our balls. Yes, hello, we are talking cravings. One of my guests is already having a little dampness in the downstairs area, giggling because of that intro. Hello, I'm Pete Dillon. It's 6 minutes past one here on a not-so-gloomy Saturday afternoon. Looking outside the window here in Melbourne, it is a bearable day. You could be outside doing something. You could be on your way to buy some flat-pack furniture. You could be doing all sorts of things. But you should stay in the car if you're driving, because the next hour is going to be combining my two favourite things. And it's a little selfish, I know. We're talking sport and food, and you may wonder how those two things go together. We have some very big sporting events happening around the world at the minute, including Le Tour de France. There's also Wimbledon. There is the third British and Irish Lions rugby test tonight, and of course AFL. So all of those things happening over this weekend, and they all have a food association. We're going to explore those food associations, and the first person here to do that is the very lovely Laura Lowne, who I understand used to trot herself off in London and visit the Queen. Laura, welcome to Cravings.
Thank you very much.
Come in nice and close to that mic, or pull it a bit closer to you so you're nice and comfortable.
We all good? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Now, you used to deliver cheese to the Queen.
I did indeed. So I worked for Paxton and Whitfield, which was probably one of the most established fromageries in the UK. I believe it was established in 1797. So we had some royal warrants. One was with Her Majesty the Queen, and also Prince Charles as well.
Oh, fancy. Now, speaking of queens, there's one sitting right next to you. A lovely friend of mine. His name is Juan Antonio Chalker. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Pete.
And we've got you in just, well, for no particular reason, but you were travelling with Laura, and I think you'd be good on the wireless, so you shall stay in front of a microphone. Have you ever delivered cheese to a queen?
No, I've eaten cheese with a queen. Or
right.
Two. Yeah.
That's part of the course,
same.
Really.
Yeah, same, close same.
Enough. Not going to a palace, are you? So we're going to explore all things fromage with you, and I thought fromage because we think of France and Le Tour de France. They're driving. Yeah, good. I'm good with the sport. They are cycling all the way from Corsica and then Nice right up to Paris and the Champs Elysees for the final stage of the tour, which goes for 23 or 24 stages. And as they cycle through France, you see beautiful, lush, verdant fields with cows in them, and those lush, verdant fields make. Or those cows on those lush verdant fields make very good milk, and the thing you need to make good cheese is good dairy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good milk.
Mm. Yeah, so when you think of France, you always think of fine cheese and fine wine as well.
Mm. You're not allowed to look at him for the rest of the show. You have to look at me so that we can keep you in front of that microphone.
I'm looking.
Now, how did you get involved with cheese? Because you're quite a young lady, you are.
Well, not an interesting story, but very different. I actually started off in fashion photography, believe it or not. I was doing my degree in London, and obviously a student, I had to get a part-time job. So I started working in a local fromagerie. Didn't know anything about cheese, didn't even like cheese, wouldn't eat it, wouldn't even go to Pizza Hut or Domino's because it had cheese on it.
Really? So you weren't a cheese person at all?
Wasn't a cheese lover at all. And I think that stemmed from, you know, when you do go to these places and you have cheese, or you go to your local supermarket, it's essentially like eating plastic slices. So that's what I always referred to as cheese being, just plastic and, you know, not very good.
See, I clearly by my physique, I am a lover of cheese. I could never work in a cheese shop because I would be, well, more sizable than I already
well,
am.
Well, believe me, when I got my first part-time job working in that fromagerie, it really opened my eyes into the different types of cheeses out there. So, you know, coming from those plastic slices to where I am now, I've really come a long way. But yeah, so I started working at that fromagerie. And obviously coming from that fashion background, I had an eye for aesthetics and colours and composition. So I spent a lot of time just rearranging the cheese counter. So I think my managers kind of noticed that I had interest in making things look beautiful and, you know, the way that things look, the cheeses, their aesthetics, their composition, their colours. I mean, some of them are bright orange, some of them are bright white, rich and creamy. So I kind of...
Some of them are even blue.
Some are blue indeed. Some have rosemary on them. Some have, you know, Ocelli Testin di Barolo has a lovely Barolo grapes on the outside. So that for
one
me,
of my favorites.
It's yes. beautiful. It's beautiful.
I had a little Italian cheese the other night, and I'm not sure what it was, but it was immersed into, I'm assuming, wine fruit. So crushed wine grapes.
Yeah.
And it had the grapes still attached.
That would be
on,
it. Yeah.
That
yeah,
would
the
be
Barolo.
The
yeah.
Barolo. So it's the Ocelli dairy in Piedmont make
it's
that cheese.
Delicious.
It's so rich, so winey. So if you like your wine, definitely try that one there.
It was actually, oddly enough, at a beer matching dinner.
Ah, interesting.
So there was a gorgonzola that...
The Ocelli Testin di Barolo.
Yeah, that one. And also some pecorino. So it was quite an interesting little mix to have before we had a chocolate beer with a chocolate dessert.
Well, you know, there's no right or wrong answer when you're pairing cheeses with beverages. A lot of people think that it goes with wine.
Cheese goes with everything.
It goes with wine, it goes with beer, and it even goes with spirits. So I know at Milk the Cow, where we work, that's something
Jump the gun. She is excited. The reason Laura is here, because on Fitzroy Street in St Kilda is a fromagerie called Milk the Cow, where you are, I'm assuming the chief fromager?
Fromagemonger. Is that the technical term?
No, mongers. No. Fromager. Monger sounds like
you're
playing around with sardines.
The correct name is cheesemonger, but I find that quite masculine in a sense. So the guys at work came up with chef de fromage, which I think is a bit more fitting and a bit more feminine.
I think it's a bit more fancy.
Exactly,
yes, I like
exactly.
that. So chef de fromage.
Chef de fromage.
And of course, fromage, the French for cheese. If we were saying that in Italian, it would be chef de formaggio.
Formaggio, indeed.
There you go.
And in Dutch, how would you say it in Dutch?
I'm sure. Say that again.
Frontaduka.
Oh,
something
on that
like
particular
that.
Note, we might have some messages and come back with a little more of Laura from Milk the Cow in Fitzroy Street in St Kilda. We're also going to be talking small goods and the British and Irish Lions rugby test. We're talking AFL pies and pasties, and we are also speaking all things strawberry, because strawberries and cream are the official foods of Wimbledon. A bit of homework for the two of you while we're having these messages. Why do they eat strawberries and cream at Wimbledon? If you know, 0427 JOY949, send a little SMS. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300 JOY949. I think Heath is sitting on the front desk, bursting to take your call. Or if you are a twatter, you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. It's 13 minutes past one.
JOY94.9.
Nothing like a bit of The Cure on a Saturday afternoon, and of course that was Pictures of You. You may have heard that on a television advertisement, a much different version, but yes, that was The Cure with Pictures of You here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It's 20 minutes now past one, and we are talking food and sport. Very shortly we'll be speaking to somebody from All About Strawberries, and strawberries because they're eaten at Wimbledon with cream. We'll be talking small goods, and very British small goods, no less, with Jim Arrowsmith from Pacton Park. And we'll be speaking a little later to the award-winning Rolling Pin Bakeries from Queenscliff and Ocean Grove, who have recently been awarded the best pie in some baking awards. So all very sporty sort of food. And in the studio I have with me the very lovely Laura. Is it Loun or Loun?
It's Loun.
L-O-W-N.
Laura Loun as in clown.
Right, from Milk the Cow in, well, Loun as in cow, Milk the Cow in Fitzroy Street in St Kilda, who's here to talk all things fromage. And Juan Antonio Chalker, which is called you John from here. Yeah. John Chalker's here. He's just sort of helping to steer the bus because he's fun to have around and good looking to have in the studio. Oh.
Base for radio.
Love
Base for radio.
So we were talking a little while ago about, I actually gave you a test. Do you know why they eat strawberries at Wimbledon?
Well, it's hot in some, well, it's hot right now when Wimbledon's going on, so I guess you want something really nice and light and refreshing.
People don't associate British with hot.
Yes, but during Wimbledon,
they do.
That's a heat wave. That's, what, 13 degrees and it's a heat wave.
She is British. She's allowed to do that, ladies and gentlemen. We don't mind.
I do believe it was King George.
Oh, look at you doing your research.
King George.
Thank you, Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Yes, there is a rumour that George the V started this in the late 1800s. As, but there are other rumours that to keep the poor people fed. The strawberries were eaten because they were abundant and plentiful.
Oh, really? Oh.
But not many poor people, I imagine, can afford to go to the tent.
Like $6 a packet now.
Well, they were very, very abundant. So there is rumour that it was to feed the poor.
Feed the poor. And what, it's strawberries and clotted cream?
Strawberries and clotted cream.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very quintessential British.
Love that word, clotted.
Yes, it is. Do you know how to clot cream?
You whisk it quickly.
Very good.
Is that correct? And it has to have a high buttermilk percentage.
Yes, it must have a very high buttermilk percentage, otherwise it's no good. Mm. Laura, back to the cheese dough. Now, you are going to be offering some classes.
Some classes, yeah.
Are we calling them classes? What are you calling them?
We are calling them Laura Loun's 101. So it's like a class. It's like a workshop.
She's humble, isn't she?
It's British. If you want to know anything about cheese, if you have you don't know anything about cheese, come along.
You think cheese is coon or craft.
If that's English. What you're accustomed to, but maybe you just want to broaden your knowledge of cheese. You want to try some new things. You want to make some friends. Come down to Laura Loun's 101 workshop, which is held every Wednesday from 6 till 7 at Milk the Cow, where we'll run through each week different themes and different categories. So first week, for example, we were going through washed rind cheeses. So you'll be trying cheeses like that Ocelli Testin di Barolo, which you've had before from Italy. Then we'll be going through blue cheeses, white mold, hard. So there's lots of different things we'll be covering. You'll be trying lots of new cheeses and hopefully
And cheese is not just a French thing, of course. There are cheeses made
Not at all. There's cheeses from all over the world. So I know at Milk the Cow, I've got over about 140 different types of cheeses, predominantly from France, but some beautiful Swiss, Austrian, Italian, Spanish,
American.
Dutch, American.
Love American
producing
cheeses.
Some fantastic cheeses right now. For example...
Do you know what moulet cheese is?
Moulet?
Yes.
Is that the donkey?
It is.
It is, which now, is one of the most expensive cheeses.
Most expensive cheeses in the world. And interestingly, one of the now finalists in the men's Wimbledon final, who won in a 5-set match overnight, Novak Djokovic, has procured most of the world's moulet
cheese. Pretty much the majority of it, because I think he's planning on opening a restaurant.
Yes,
and
he wants to
be the only one offering that cheese. So it's
donkey cheese. Because obviously donkey's milk.
Yeah, they don't yield as much milk, so you need a lot of donkey milk to make a little bit of cheese.
And it's called a moulet cheese, M-U-L-E, oddly enough.
Exactly. But I'm intrigued.
No, is it poulet?
I'm not sure. I think it may be...
We're going to do a little bit of research while we play the next messages in a couple of minutes. We'll do a bit of research. It might be poulet, P-U-L-E.
Poulet.
Because moulet sounds too obviously.
Yeah, but... Come on.
Moulet.
M-U-L-E. I think it would be Moulet.
It would be Moulet, yeah.
If anyone knows.
Look, if you do know, do send us a message. 0427-JOY949. The cheese made from donkey's milk. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300-JOY949. Or if you must, you can send a tweet to cravings_JOY949. Now, like I said, you look far too young to be... to know so much about cheese. Where does all your knowledge come from? Do you sit and study it constantly?
Friday nights, lonely old me, sat at home with a book. No, been working.
Yeah. What, tell somebody that might believe that, Laura.
I've been working in the industry, working with cheese for about 7 years now. Obviously, starting when I was about 18. Now 25, so I think it all stems from experience and also a passion for it as well. Obviously, I love eating cheeses, and I love the little stories which go with cheeses as well. So a little bit about the history really intrigues me and entices me to learn more about it.
She's taught me a lot about cheese.
Exactly. Being able to pass that knowledge on as well is kind of fulfilling. So,
what have you learned about cheese, John?
Well, I've learned quite a bit about cheese, and not so much about the pronunciation because there's some tongue twisters in there. But Laura's very passionate, and she's gone through. I've learned about Goudas.
Gouda.
A lot about different styles of blue cheeses. Some of what I've discovered to be my favourite cheeses are Alpine styles. What makes an Alpine style? And if you come to Laura Lounge Cheese 101,
you'll find all about Alpine styles of cheeses.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why do I adore mold cheese so much?
Mold cheese is in the
Gorgonzola, Stilton. Even some of the wash rinds have got that beautiful stinkiness.
Do you like that kind of piquancy, that really nice spice towards this? I think a lot of... I find, especially in the UK, is a lot of the males actually prefer these kind of spicy, strong blues. Maybe it's a masculine thing. Maybe it's just a flavour.
Because I'm so masculine and butch.
I like a Stilton too, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. I do find, maybe you think the same, Vaughn, but when the male come in to milk the cow, they certainly do request a lot of the Stilton, a lot of the blue cheeses.
I find a lot of those sort of triple cream brie and stuff somewhat feminine, and not in a bad way.
Exactly.
Not in a bad way.
It's like Delice de Bourgogne.
It is.
And it's very fancy, the name, whereas Roquefort is very masculine.
Roquefort and Gorgonzola and Stilton. It's Poulet is the donkey milk cheese.
Poulet, there we go.
We will be back very shortly to talk strawberries and cream and Wimbledon and all sorts of things here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It's 27 minutes past one.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. Pete Dillon here with you. 1:30 it is, and we have been talking about French cheese in some senses, and the reason we're talking cheese is because Le Fromage and Le Tour seem to go hand in hand. The Tour de France is currently on the television. I believe Gabriel Gatté is doing a bit of a show on the SBS that sort of looks at food as well. But we are moving on because it's not the only thing that's going on in the world of sport. There's another little thing going on called Wimbledon, one of the four Grand Slams of tennis. And I can inform you that the top two seeds, Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray, the Brit, will be playing off in the men's final tomorrow night, our time, Sunday night, our time, overnight. Or maybe it's Monday. Anyway, they're playing the next day or two. Novak Djokovic had a 5-set tough game against Argentinian Juan Martin Del Potro. And Andy Murray won in 4 sets against the 24th seed. His name is Janovic. He's from Poland. Nobody expected him to be around at the semi-final end of the tournament, but he was. And one of the things we were talking before about why one would eat strawberries at Wimbledon, and there's... Well, perhaps our next guest can tell us, because he is the man behind a strawberry farm at Main Ridge, where at certain parts of the year you can actually go and pick your strawberries. It is the Sunny Ridge Strawberry Farm, and the man that owns that, his name is Mick Gallis, he's on the phone with us right this very minute. Mick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pete. Good to be with you.
Likewise. Well, look, we're very pleased to have you. Now, I've got John and I've got Laura in here, so if you hear another voice, it won't be mine. It'll be one of those two. You are the owner of Sunny Ridge Strawberry Farm. Talk us through the farm. Where is it? And, you know, how long have you been there? Give us a potted history.
Okay. Well, our Yupik farm is located on the Mornington Peninsula hinterland. It's just behind Arthur's Seat. It's around 200 metres above sea level, and it's considered a maritime climate as it is surrounded by water, which is an ideal location for strawberry growing.
Why is a maritime climate good for... I know it's good for wine. Why is it good for strawberries?
Because it actually sort of doesn't get too hot in the summer and in the growing season, and it doesn't get sort of... it's a nice, moderated sort of climate, which doesn't really get above 30 and sort of during the growing season. That's very important because strawberries don't really like a lot of really hot weather. They like sort of the type of temperature that actually people love to live. You know, if you live in a nice coastal area around the Moreton and Devonshire beaches, that's about why people sort of come to the peninsula, because it's just a lovely place to live. And, you know, I have this belief that actually strawberries thrive where people love to live. So if you've got a great location where people love to sort of live, well, that's where strawberries do very well.
And clearly people don't love to live in the western suburbs of Melbourne. I live in the inner west, Mick, and I cannot grow a strawberry plant to save myself.
Oh, there you go. We've been doing it for... the farm was actually started around 1970. My parents bought the property in 1964. So it's a great location, and I wouldn't live anywhere else.
What's the secret? Do I need some good pup for them, some good manure?
Look, they do enjoy a lot of organic manure. You know, they're sort of very surface feeders, and they like adequate... they like lots of sunshine during the growing season. They don't like it sort of too cold. And, you know, ideal temperature is somewhere between nighttime temperatures about 12 degrees and daytime temperatures about 25 degrees with lots of sunshine and adequate water. But the soil, it's got to be a nice, well-drained soil with lots of organic matter, and away you go.
And when should I plant them?
Normally, strawberries are best planted in late autumn is the best time, and or even sort of early winter. We find the best time because that gives you your best sort of yield. If you leave it going to the springtime, it doesn't give the plants a lot of time to get established.
Right.
But commercially, we always, you know, like around May in Victoria. May and sort of June is the optimum planting time.
So, Mick, do you know why strawberries and cream are eaten at Wimbledon? Why are they the traditional food?
Well, you know, strawberries are sort of a summer fruit, and at this time of the year in England, strawberries are at their peak production, peak season. Look, we've got a friend actually that grows strawberries and supplies Wimbledon, and they're harvesting about in excess of 20 tonnes a day just to go to Wimbledon. It gives you an idea how huge the strawberries and cream are, a huge hit in Wimbledon. Unfortunately, we don't have that same appeal or the passion to be able to do something like that in the Australian Open, which is the tennis event in January in Melbourne.
Oh, no, so you just that's all about hot chips and cold beer, isn't it?
Well, to some people, but you know, I think being a strawberry grower, I think sort of would be great to be able to do what they do in the UK, because I reckon it's tradition, it's part of Wimbledon.
Well, yes, true. Now, look, one of the things that that I was interested in is that you have a picking season for people to come in. I'm assuming with a small wicker basket or a bucket, and pick themselves. You supply those?
We supply containers. Yeah, you just come and bring the family along, and we supply all the containers and the fields for you to pick in and go crazy in. And usually that starts around sort of Melbourne Cup weekend, about early November.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, just in time for people to enjoy the Melbourne Cup celebrations with strawberries and champagne, of course.
Well, this is good. Strawberries and champagne is another good mix, as are, Laura, I'm assuming that strawberries and cheese.
Strawberries and cheese, indeed. So we've got some fantastic cheeses. Triple cream cheeses usually go really nice with those refreshing strawberries. So something like Brillat Savarin.
Another of my favourites.
It's a French cheese. So it's triple cream. They actually infuse creme into the cheese towards the start of the process. So really rich. I find it's just like a dessert in itself. So it pairs really nice with strawberries and also champagne as well.
Good breakfast time food.
Yes, it does sound rather marvelous.
You're making me hungry already.
Yeah, I'm sitting here getting slightly, I'm a bit frothy around the mouth. One of the other things that I like is the farm is still open, Mick, so people can come out there even at this time of the year and have a look around the farm on the weekend. Is that What are they going to see?
That's not quite right. Look, we're the season for us, the Yupik season, commences in early November, first week of November, and it goes until May. That is our Victorian strawberry season.
Yep.
This time of the year, the cafe is only open for serving our fantastic desserts, and it's only open weekends, and we have wine tasting, we have Devonshire teas. But we do source our strawberries. We have a growing location in sunny Queensland on the Sunshine Coast, and that's where I'm at the moment. I'm going to ramp this home, but it's 24 degrees up here.
Oh. Where on the Sunshine Coast are you, so I can send a drone in to drop something heavy on you?
Well, it's actually a place called Whamuran, which is about just inland from Bribey Island, actually.
Oh, nice. So it's on that very southern part of the coast.
It's a fabulous day to be out today.
Mm. 24 degrees. I might have to let you go and have a cold 4X Gold in a minute. If people do want to get, if they're in, let's say that they're going down to the Mornington Peninsula tomorrow for a bit of a drive because it's Sunday, they can call in and have a Devonshire tea. I'm assuming there's jams made with your strawberries and that sort of thing.
That's correct. We make our own ice creams. All our ice creams are made on the premises. We have chocolate-coated strawberries.
Any strawberry wine?
We have strawberry wine, strawberry port, strawberry liqueur.
John, you better go and rev up the car. You better go and fill up the car, mate, because I reckon tomorrow we're heading down.
Apple cider and a lot of the actual fruit wines are blended with cider as well to give a little bit more variety to our wine range.
Excellent, and clearly we'll be staying the night down there as well. Look, Mick, great to talk to you, and continued success with Sunny Ridge. Enjoy sunny Queensland, and we'll probably get down to speak to you at some point in after November when we're doing the UPIC season. We'll come and pick some strawberries and have a bit of a yarn to you then, mate. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me, and have a great day.
Cheers, mate. That's Mick Gallus. He's the owner of Sunny Ridge out at Main Ridge, and strawberries and cream, but strawberry wine and strawberry cider. Mm. Goodness me. We might have another little track, and this is slightly indulgent because it's all about strawberries. It's, in fact, an old Beatles track done by Ben Harper. This is Strawberry Fields Forever here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It's 21 minutes to 2.
Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Oh, yes, that is Gabriel Gatte.
Love that voice.
Isn't that gorgeous? He is currently doing a TV show on SBS, which is all around the Tour de France, that bicycle race that's currently happening. And part of today's program is all about sporting pursuits. We have Laura Lown as in clown, here from Milk the Cow in Fitzroy Street. She's been talking about cheeses. We also have John Chalker in to stir up the pot. He's like a bee.
I'm sitting here giggling, really.
Coming in to giggle. And on the phone, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is the third of the British and Irish Lions rugby test against Australia. It is 1-1 in the series. The Brits trounced us in the first, beat us by a point after our, whatever his role is, the fly half or something, missed the kick because he slipped over. We did give them a bit of a serve. a week or so ago in the second test right here in Melbourne, where we beat them by only a point or two. So tonight is the big decider. There have been British and Irish Lions fans running all over the country. This currently in Sydney.
Lots of pale people.
Yes, lots of pale people in red shirts. And and I'm not sure if he's wearing a red shirt, but a man from that part of the world is James Arrowsmith from Paxton Park. He's on the phone. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Now, you've been at Veg Out Farmers Markets where?
Yes, I have. It's a cracking day, even if it's a bit dull.
Where is the Veg Out? Is that St Kilda?
Yeah, Veg Out St Kilda, the old peanut farm.
Lovely. So, obviously, you're there selling your product. And for those that haven't listened to this show, Paxton Park sells very British-type small goods. What do you make?
Well, we're just making the things that we miss. So we do pork pies, eaten cold, black pudding, haggis, white pudding, English-style bacon, English-style sausages, all those little British things.
That go very well with cheese, Laura, I should think.
Indeed, and I'll tell you what I'm missing since I've come to Australia, a Melbourne Mulberry pork pie. So I don't know if you do something similar. I'd definitely be happy to pop on over and grab some.
That's just what we do.
Oh, fantastic.
There you go. Jim, where do you sell those in Melbourne? Just because I know that your production facility is up on the Echuca-Moama border.
That's correct.
So if apart from farmers markets, where can I go and buy one of your pork pies?
The pork pies, you can get the at IGA Renaissance in St Kilda.
Almost across the road from you, Laura.
I know.
Laura.
Oh, just across the road, yeah.
I'm there after this. I'm over there.
Alison's Bread in Paran. Two Tall Chefs and Skinner and Hackett in Brunswick and Carlton North. So we've got a few spots here and there.
And Pork John in their new shop.
Pork John, absolutely.
I love that. Matt Wilkinson, who's currently moaning about being at a lunch somewhere with the North Melbourne Football Club and paying $350 for his lunch and only getting a chicken drumstick. That wouldn't make Matt very happy at all. Jim, what encouraged you to take up the production of haggis and white and black pudding and all of those very delicious British things? Why do that?
I absolutely love Australia, but I suppose loving my British food, I just couldn't get my head around the fact that pork pies weren't available or that the sausages tasted funny. And at first I couldn't work it out, and then I realised it's because they're lamb or beef. Whereas in the UK, a sausage is made out of pork. That's just, you know, the sky's blue. Sausages are pork. So it took me a while to get my head around that. And then with my business partner, Pete Tong, who's a chef, and I'd done a bit of pig farming, we thought, look, let's give this a go. So we converted a factory in Bunnaloo, in just sort of near Deniliquin in New South Wales, into a commercial kitchen and did all that ourselves and started out sort of the hard way, really.
Yeah. Sorry, John, you have a question?
Yeah, Jim, so quick question for you. I'm a butcher's son, so I've consumed my fair share of sausages throughout my life. But quick question, what is the difference between a black sausage and a white sausage? Or blood pudding?
Depends where you're hanging out, John Chalker.
a black pudding and a white pudding, blood, basically. So a black pudding, the black puddings we make, a two-third pig blood. And a white pudding, or as the French call it, a boudon blanc, is without any blood. Yeah.
So does that have a lot of... Do they also put a lot of grains in it? Because I've had white puddings that have oats or something through it as well. That's... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Generally, with the black and the white pudding, you have a cereal which soaks up the juices or the fats and the blood. So rolled oats, often breadcrumbs is used, and then you have a fat. So we use beef suet. Others use pork back fat. Some use cream. You've always got those different, you know, you need a cereal, a fat, your blood.
To soak it
salt,
up, yeah.
Pepper. Mm.
Well, Jim, while you're giving away the secrets to black and white pudding, I've got another gentleman on the phone. He is the owner of the Rolling Pin Bakeries. They are at both Queenscliff and Ocean Grove. A recent award winner for his pies and pasties. He's on the phone as well, because pies and pasties are things we would eat here when we are watching, well, a different sort of football than rugby. Nathan Williams, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you going?
Good, mate. We're speaking with Jim from Pacton Park on the phone as well. We're talking about the British and Irish Lions test tonight and eating things like black pudding and haggis and all of that sort of stuff. If we swing across to AFL, your award-winning pies, how did you win those? Give us a bit of information.
Yeah, look, the actual competition itself is Australia's Best Pie Competition, and it's run as part of Food Show Australia, which was at the exhibition building in Carlton. Basically we send up a few pies of each. There's quite a few categories and a pasty competition that runs along with it. We make the pies in the morning, we send them up, and there's over 3 days, there's a panel of 8 judges that taste them and all that, and finally come to a winner at the end.
Nathan, as we're hearing from Jim, the secret to his blood puddings and white puddings and all of that is, well, he's not letting all of his secrets go, are you, Jim?
No, I won't.
What's the secret to a good pie? Is it to have the perfect crust? Is it to have the right proportion of I'm assuming, good meat and other bits and pieces that go into them?
I think it's a combination of all those. Fundamentally, I think it has to taste good. So as long as you get the seasoning right, you're halfway there. We use a good meat. All our meat is Greenham from Tasmania, which is free range, hormone free, and antibiotic free. So that's definitely a good start. The pastry, you do have to get the ratios right, the thickness. The judging criteria is actually fairly, there's quite a number of things they look at, but it's definitely a combination that will get you over the line at the end.
What are they toughest on? What do they make your life really difficult with? Is it, you know, the proportion of butter to flour in the pastry to make it, you know, light in a particular manner, or?
I don't think it's one thing in particular. I think they judge sort of over there. I think there's probably 8 or 9 criteria. They judge it cold first.
Yep.
And the first thing is appearance. They look at the colour. You really want a nice sort of brown colour. Ours is, with our egg wash we use, we double egg wash it, which gives it quite a nice gloss.
Yep.
Then they cut it open. They look at the colour of your meat. They look at its consistency, the thickness of the pastry in relation to the amount of meat you have.
Is chunky meat better than minced meat?
Look, the one that we actually want is a combination of both.
Chunky and minced.
Fancy. Hey, Jim, you make pork pies. Is any of this relevant to you in the production of your very terribly British pork pies? Any little hints you're getting here from Nathan?
A lot of his saying is exactly what we have to take into account when we make ours. With the pork pie, the whole essence of a pork pie is it is pork, so even the pastry contains pork fat to give it its sort of its short crumbliness. And we make all that in-house as well.
Nathan, what's the shortening you use in your pastries? Is it butter?
It's a margarine, actually.
Oh, margarine. Meadow Lea, don't care for it.
Controversial.
It is controversial.
Well, to be honest, I'm actually not involved in the production so much, so the exact use of those things would be sort of a question for my production manager, but... whatever we're using is working.
Yeah, well, clearly it is. If you're winning awards, Nathan, next time you're down in this part of the world, mate, we'll get you in and we'll have a longer chat about the ins and outs of making perfect pies and pasties. Thank you for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, mate. Cheers. That's Nathan Williams from the Rolling Pin Bakeries. If you're in Queenscliff or Ocean Grove, you should call in and visit. Likewise, Jim, if people want to come and visit you in Moama, what's the easiest way for them to find you?
The easiest way is to call into the visitor centre and get a brochure, or we're 4 kilometres along Parakuta Road on the right-hand side.
I know Parakuta Road. Oh, look, am I?
John's eyes just lit up.
My first girlfriend back in the day.
We don't have time for that story right now. Look, Jim, thanks, mate. Always good to talk to you, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very
much. Thanks, mate. Cheers. That's James Arrowsmith from Pacton Park. Very good British products to be having when one's watching the rugby tonight. I'm hoping that we see a Wallabies win over the British and Irish Lions to close off that test series and make it 2-1 in favour of the Wallabies. Le Tour de France you can watch on SBS, and Gabriel Gatte's cooking show will follow that, I believe, every at least once a week. I'm not quite sure. I should have done a bit more research on Gabriel Gatte's show.
I saw it last Thursday. It was good.
It is a good show. So Le Tour de France on SBS on your television late every night. Wimbledon you can watch, I believe, overnight on Channel 9. Look, check your local guides for all of this sort of stuff where you eat strawberries and cream. And AFL happening all weekend as well. North Melbourne playing Richmond in about 10 minutes down at Etihad Stadium. So a big weekend in sport. Thank you, Laura Lowne, for coming in and spending some time with me talking about cheeses. The website?
The website is www.milkthecow.com.au.
Excellent. And that will have details, of course, of Laura Lowne's 101 cheese classes as well, I assume.
It does. 101, all about cheese, what we do here, our menu. We've just launched fondues as of yesterday. So
oh, my God. Nobody makes a fondue like I do. I'll have to come and put you to the test.
Oh, well, yeah. I've got 3 different types on offer. Individual fondue, so come on down.
Well, I've been making fondues that have... some wine in them. So I was making one with Gorgonzola and Pinot Grigio. I don't think there's anything.
Try
any
our Grand Legend. It's got cognac in there. It's got Momuso, which is a sparkling from the Loire. It's got a bit of Stanton and Clean Topek, some truffle pecorino.
Is there any cheese in it? Or is it all? It's a booze fondue.
That's John's fondue.
Excellent.
So Grand Legend, obviously the name is very fitting for it. So you have to come on down and try one of those.
Terrific. Look, that's Cravings done for today here on Joy 94.9. Thank you for your time. Thank you for joining me. John, thank you for sitting in and
always
helping to
pleasure,
steer
Pete.
The bus. We'll have a couple of messages and we're going to finish off with Ima Thomas's Another Man Done Gone, because it is a terrific track, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Coming up very shortly are the lovely folk from Escape Pod. Until next week, I shall see you then. This has been Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Have fun. Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.